Okay.
As an introduction to review of the Hilchos Chanukah, there is a Mishnah in Chagiga, after Zayin Amud Aleph. Yossi ben Yoezer Omer Shavu Lismoch, Yossi ben Yochanan Omer Lismoch, Yeshu ben Prachya Omer Shavu Lismoch, Nitai Harbeli Omer Lismoch, Yedua ben Magoy Omer Shavu Lismoch, Shimon ben Shetach Omer Lismoch, etc. And Rashi and Tosfos both point out over here that the question over here as to whether one should be Somech or Behema on Yom Tov, Zoi HaMachlokes HaRishona Shehoyesa B'Chachmei Yisrael. That which we take for granted in terms of learning Gemara, that everything is totally b'machlokas, was not always the situation. That this was the first machlokas, and the gracious Rabbah points out in Siman Samachay, who had in Seder Hadoros, that this machlokas began in the time of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, who lived in the time of Pumus Shel Yevonim. Namely, that this is related historically to the period that preceded Hanukkah, that this was part of the ratzon of the Yevanim, lahashkicham mitorasecha ulahavira mechukei ritzonecha. The Medrash, which deals with Arba Golios, so the Arba Golios are already Nirmaz and Maisa Bereshis, v'arata yisasohu v'avohu v'choshech al pnei sahom, tohu is Bavel, bohu is Paras, Choshech is Yavan, and the Tahom that we're still living in is Edom. Who Adin, we find the parallel medrash in Brisbane at the Sarim. It's Ema Chashecha, Nofelas Alav Chashecha, Zo Yavan. Yavan is Chashecha. Choshecha and Shichecha are two sides of the same coin. Now we're dealing over here with a Golus, which is very strange. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We're living in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a Chashecha. And the Chashecha is a Golus from Torah. It's a Shichecha from Torah that we see over here that wrote about Machlokes. There is a very, very beautiful Maimar of Rav Hutner in Tachad Yitzchak, in Maimar Gimel, where he points out how HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'hashgachato creates situations where bitula zohi kiyuma. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about asher shavarta and chazal v'doresh yasher kochacha sheshavarta. That had we still had the luchos harishonos, there never would have been shichacha. The luchos achronos gave us the ability of shichacha. What's the greatness of shichacha? It brings about machlokas, correct, but machlokas brings about a tremendous growth in Torah of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that we have an ability to see things from many perspectives simultaneously, and this brings about a tremendous growth. All of Torah Shebal Peh, all of the pupil of Torah Shebal Peh from a positive perspective, is a tremendous growth of Torah. All this began in the time of the Yevanim. That the Yevanim, we're talking about post-Torah Shebichsav, the beginning of the Tkufa of Torah Shebaalpeh as the main learning of Klal Yisrael, this came about in the time of the Yevanim, and so that which the Yevanim tried to be mashkiachas, that bedafka turned into the tremendous push, explosion to a certain degree, of a world of learning Torah. And so, I'm bringing this in as a hakdama to Hilchos Chanukah. What we're going to find is that within Chanukah, al kol tza'ad v'sha'al, there is a machlokas. Even when there's no machlokas in a Gemara, we have a machlokas in terms of halach v'maisa. And that's why I wanted to give this little shir chavura today, which is really a week before Chanukah, because there's a lot to think about in terms of hadlokas neros Chanukah, a lot of decisions that we've made. Those who are married have to decide together with your wives. And so we'll move into the dinim of Hadraka. Let's start off with where to put the Chanukiah. So the Gemara in Shabbos, in the sugya of Chanukah over there on Kaf Aleph Amud Beis points out that we have over here a number of options that are conditional. Tanu Rabbanan, Kafal Hanbeis, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Hanicha al Pesach Beisel Mibachutz, Im Hayadar Ba'aliyah, he has no Pesach Beisel Mibachutz, then Minicha Bachalon Asmuchal or Shusarabim, Ubishas HaSakona Minicha al Shulchano V'dayo. This Gemara is quoted in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Siman Tav Reish Ayin. Aleph. Zif Hey. Ner Chanukah. Verbatim. The Gemara is quoted verbatim. The question is that according to the Gemara, when we have a Shasa Sakana, then one lights indoors. Meniko al Shulchano Vidayo. Mashma, that if there's not a Shasa Sakana, one goes back to the Ikar Din of being Meniach, the Pesach Rishus HaRabim, where the Chatzar enters into Rishus HaRabim. And the Or Zeruah already asked, time of the Or Zeruah, going back to the Tkufa Vay HaTosva, since nowadays, says the Or Zeruah, there is no Shat Sakana, why don't we light outdoors? And leaves it as a Tzorach Iyun within the Or Zeruah. But we all know that Min HaKutz La'aretz is, even though there is no Shat Sakana, still to light indoors. This is brought by the Chayyadam, by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, by the Mishnah Berurah. They all say that this is Min HaKutz La'aretz. Why? How do we understand why it's Min HaKutz La'aretz? What do we do with the question of the Or Zeruah? So there are basically three approaches among the Rishonim and the Achronim. One approach we find in the Ritva on Shabbos, which is which is said by the Aruch HaShulchan. He didn't have the Ritva on Shabbos. We find the same svara both in the Aruch HaShulchan and the Ritva on Shabbos. And that is that throughout the Doros, they were marked the concept of Sakana. Sakana was not only Mayom Ruha Goyim, Sakana also moved into rain and wind, and in the Northern Hemisphere, Hanukkah comes out during a time of winter, and therefore the Shasa Sakana applies, but it's simply in a different permutation. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, and it's already found in the Ritva on Shabbos. That's one approach. An alternate approach is working off of Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah. In the Sugya of the Tkios, Tosfos points out that when the Gemara says that we move the Tkios from Shacharis, from the Zrizim Makdimen, to before Musaf because of the Sakana, so Tosfos asks, well, why not move it back if the Zoroastrians are no longer in power? So why not move back the Tkiyah to where it should be? And Tosfos points out, Shema Yachzer HaSakana. Jewish history is not a one-way street going up. We're on a roller coaster. And Shema Yachzor HaSakana. The third approach is that of the Baal HaItur. The Baal HaItur also has Hilchos Chanukah, Sach HaKol with two columns. And in Hilchos Chanukah, the Baal HaItur says, Kevon Shenohagu Nohagu. That this is the Bechal. You don't have to look for a unique reason within Shasa Sakana, like the Ritva, or to predict necessarily problems in terms of the future, Bipotech Kala Satan. But this is a din and minhagim, that even if the Siba for the minhag falls off, that the minhag still is retained. Ech shelo yeh, in Chutz La'aretz, we all know that one lights indoors. In Eretz Yisrael, so there are many who keep the minhagim of Chutz La'aretz, but already in the time of the Maharal Diskin, they felt that the minhag of Chutz La'aretz didn't apply here, for all the reasons mentioned. We don't have Baruch Hashem, Ruach, and Shelem, where Shema Yachzer HaSakana, we already had our two Chorbanos. Hopefully, there will be no third Chorban. And in terms of Kevin Shenagu Nagu, there was never a minhag in Eretz Yisrael, Dafka, to light indoors. And therefore, the Maral Diskin, Reb Chaim Sonnenfeld, and it's brought in Luach Eretz Yisrael, already that one should light outdoors. Chazanish, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, all felt that one should go back to Dina de Gemara, and so it remains Nara Naru Pashte, namely that this is really a very personal call. I never did a survey, but I would assume that it's about 50%, in terms of those who light indoors and those who light outdoors. Then the question is, oh, well, where does one light if one lights indoors? Where does one light if one lights outdoors? So here we have the Gemara on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph in Shabbos. Amar Rabba, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lehanicha B'Tefach Hasmucha LePetach. That, and if there is a mezuzah in that area, the Hilchos HaKishmuel, Kedeshi and Ner Chanukah Mismol, the mezuzah Miyamin. And then the Gemara, a little later on, points out that you should write between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim, that we should have a heker, that it's l'shem ner Chanukah. And this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Reish Ayin Aleph, mitzvah lehanicha betefach hasamach lepetach, and in halacha vav over there, menicha l'mala migimol tefachim, mitzvah lehanicha l'mata miyud tefachim. How, and then the Ramah says, meaning the Ramah in preparation Ayin Aleph, Sifei, Lahanik Betefach HaSamach HaPesach Kamobi Yemehem, Ve'ein L'Shanot, Ein L'Shanot. To light inside of one's door, the mezuzahs on one side, the menorahs, the chanukiyahs as close as possible to the door on the other side, Ve'ein L'Shanot. The Mishnah Berurah, however, points out that, Mikol Makom, Sifkotan Lamed Ches, Im Yesh Chalon HaSamach L'Rishus HaRabim, Nachon Yoser She'enuchenu Sham, Kedei She'heker L'Bnei Rishus HaRabim, Ve'yispar Seim HaNes, Im Rabba Makom, D'Shricha Hezeka Yedeze. Namely, that if one can light on one hand indoors in order to keep minag avoseinu biyadeinu, on the other hand, to be able to allow for a pesumi nisa of the rabim, as opposed to just a pesumi nisa of bnei habayis, namely by a chalon which is seen by bnei harishus harabim, a situation where there's no shas sakana, lo mamokam shishlich hazeka, that would be adif. So those who live in the apartment building, if you have a window which faces towards Rishus HaRabim and which is not more than 20 amos above Rishus HaRabim, then one should light there. That's what the Sharzim points out. Achenim achalom gavoh me'akarka Rishus HaRabim memala me'esrim ama vein heker l'nei Rishus HaRabim az tov yoser laniach bepetach. What over here do we define as Rishus HaRabim? So l'chora, the street which is going in front of your house, where the fellows from Torah Shraga walk from their dormitory to the Chadar Ochel, relative to your homes, would be a Rishus HaRabim. We'll talk about its status a little later. Would be a Rishus HaRabim. So if you have a window which is 20 amos is approximately 10 meters. So if it's not more than 10 meters above that, the miflas, 10 meters above or 10 meters below, the level of that street, that would be one option. What if your windows face the other direction, towards Givat Mordechai, and there are buildings in Givat Mordechai that are parallel to your windows? You can see their windows, they can see your windows. That's a machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Zatzal and Rav Yashiv Shiyachya. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he writes, from where he was in the Lower East Side in the high-rise buildings over there. They were parallel buildings, and he viewed that as a pesuminisa of the rabin, and it'd be better to light in a window where you're opposite other windows than to light by the doorway, which is purely pesuminisa for the home itself. However, Avol Yashiv says, no, that's not pesuminisa of the rabin. Pesuminisa of the rabin means those in the street. Those are the rabin. That's pesuminisa of more yechidim. You have yechidim in that apartment, yechidim in that apartment. You have yechidim in your apartment. You're not mechliyav to be mefarse in the nes for yechidim out of your home. You're mechliyav for rabim, not for yechidim, and rabim is defined by the rechov. So that remains a machlokas, and again, the ovid kamar ovid, the ovid kamar ovid. That's the same. So that's in terms of that aspect. Just one second. Those individuals who in other words, what we mentioned, to light inside one's home, either by the doorway or by the window of one's home, I'm assuming that you are both eating and sleeping in your apartment. Those of you who sleep in your apartment but eat in the Chadar Ochel on a regular basis, so the Ramah points out in Siman Tafresh Ayin Zayin, in the Din of Achsanai, that if you're within the world of lighting indoors, if you sleep in one area and eat in another area, then makom she'ochel bo is the ikar area. Then one would light in the chadar ochel. That's the way Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal Paskin in terms of the Lakewood Yeshiva, that people should light in the chadar ochel. To the best of my knowledge, in YU, many light in the chadar ochel. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he says that the Ramah was relating to a situation where your sleeping and your eating would be done in a relatively private unit. Masha Einkein, Rav Moshe's tshuva is in Chelot Yimel of Yoredeya, Siman Yudalit. Masha Einkein says, Rav Moshe, if your home, your sleeping home, is relatively private and your eating area is public, then the Pisiminisa of Ner Ishu Beso should be in the more private area. Namely, that even if a person sleeps in the dorm and sleeps in the apartment and eats in the Chadar Ochel, he should still light in the apartment as opposed to the Chadar Ochel, even according to the Ramah. It's a Machlokes Achronim, how to read the Ramah. I just have one, it's a request in terms of politeness, but it's a demand in terms of the reality, and that is that anyone who is going to be lighting indoors, v'tnai yachad, and that is that someone has to be in the apartment the entire time that the Chanukiah is lit. If you're not planning on being home at that time, so have a neighbor look in every number of minutes, that there's no heter to create a situation of sakonas nefashos for the tzibur, because the person wants to be mahader and light in his apartment. So it's a tnai bal ya'avor, that there has to be a degree of shmira for the neros, or the shemen, if you're lighting indoors. That's on the side of lighting indoors. On the option of those who want to take the minog of Ruach Eretz Yisrael and light outdoors, so firstly, of course, one has to provide oneself with the proper paraphernalia, namely some form of a box that when you light them, there would be the possibility of their actually being lit for the period of time. Ad she'tichla rego min hashuk. You can either purchase such a box or you could make one. But in other words, the ekshelo yiyeh, that has to be done. And then the question is where to light. So we have a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. When one lights outdoors, where does one light? Does one light at the petach of his bayit to the chatzer? Or does one light at the petach of the chatzer to the Rishus HaRabim? The petach of the bayit to the chatzer, l'chora, would mean to light outside of your apartment door, where your apartment door connects with the hallway. The hallway is already the chatzer, and that, therefore, rather than lighting inside the doorway, one would light outside the doorway, and then, l'chora, you don't need that big a box. In other words, you just have to check what are the air currents in that area, and you'd be able to light there if you put up a proper windbreaker within the hallway. However, we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin like Tosos, the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah, paskin like Tosos, that one lights where the Chotzer hits Rishus HaRabim. And here, Ein Beis Hamikdash Lo Chidush, here we have a new situation this year we never had on the Gruz campus previously, or on the Reitz Israel campus previously. We have a new situation, new name, new situation, and that is that we have doors and sha'arim, and what used to be the exit to the Rishus HaRabim, and what used to be that the street in front of the apartment buildings would be a Rishus HaRabim. Cars would drive there. The women from Chorev or Michala would go walking by there on the way to the bus stop and give up Mordechai, etc. Is now a chatzer. It's now a chatzer which is enclosed with mechitzot. And this chatzer has three petachim. One petach is on this side of the building where you have a doorway that goes up the side of the building. Another petach is towards the Michala bus stop, where you again have a doorway by the gate for the cars. And the third petach is in this building, or in front of this building, where the chatzer of the campus hits the Rishus HaRabim, hits the sidewalk. And so I took a tour with Rabbi David this morning, and we agreed that l'chora, one could light at any, if one wants to light outdoors, one would light at any one of those three petachim on the right side. Outside, in other words, on the outside of the gate, you walk out of the gate and put your Chanukiah on a chair, or hang it if you're talking about the ptachim on the two sides on the barzalim that make up the machitza next to the gate. If you're coming up the pathway over here, so here there's a gate for the cars. And then over here, there is a way where you come out, you come over here, there's a doorway. So you would light over here. And it's to the right side of the doorway. The door actually goes in.
Isn't that the same side of the mezuzah, Rabbi?
What?
If there's a mezuzah there.
There's no mezuzah there because there's no mashkov.
on this side. He's talking about over there, right? There's no mashke, it's the basta. In other words, there's no mashkof over here. There's no mezuzah over here. So you would put the chair or hang it on the wall over here to the right side and light over there. That's one option. Or on this side over here, there's a gateway with a mezuzah, and so on the opposite side of the mezuzah. Or over here, we have a building that we're currently in, and this building has an area with columns, and then there is a walkway, and then there is a sidewalk. And then there is a street, right? Here's where the cars are parked. This is the sidewalk, and this is the walkway here. Here you'd light, in other words, put a chair over here, or a chair over here, or a chair over here. Right? In other words, you put chairs along here, and you'd light your chanukiyot over here. This is a chora, there's more pisimanisa over here than here and here, but these are the three sha'arim between the chatzer, which is the entire campus, and the Rishus HaRabim. Now it's not over here. Over here, this is still part of the Chatzer. All the Tzimchiyahs over here, and this is a little ramp over here, and there are stairs over here, right at the top, where you hit the sidewalk. When you hit the sidewalk, that's the Petah. Yes?
If one made Aliyah, should they keep the Minhag Eretz Yisrael?
I pointed out that Minhag Eretz Yisrael, in this situation, is not like not saying the Shamru on Friday nights or saying Morid HaTal. This is the Minhag Eretz Yisrael is that 50% of the people light indoors, 50% of the people light outdoors. The Minhag of the Luach Eretz Yisrael is to light outdoors, and many Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael lived outdoors. Rabbi Yashin, Shlomo Welders lights outdoors, Shlomo Zalman Orbach lit outdoors, Chazon Ish lit outdoors, but there are many Gedolim who also light indoors. And there is a pulmus back and forth. You'll get the first volume of Rabbi Yashin's Tshuva, so there's Rav Ehrenberg in Tel Aviv who wrote a Tshuva. To light indoors, he writes to light outdoors. So, you know, it's, but one should try and be consistent. That yes, it shouldn't change your minhag from year to year. You should, it's the minhag of the Luach Eretz Yisrael is to return to Dina de Gemara. And the minhag of Chutzlar, as I gave, the rationales for the minhag of Chutzlar. Okay, so that's in terms of where to live. Yes?
Is there any basis to light where we lit last year, at the top of the stairway?
No. No, it's not. It's nishtahin, nishtaher. Either you light indoors, and then indoors, or you light outdoors, according to Tosus. We don't pass like Rashi. You shouldn't light in the hallway of the apartment either. It's not. I don't know why they light in the hallway in YU. I don't know. I have no idea. But that's not. We don't pass them like Rashi. We pass them like Tosus. Yes?
Is there an issue of Maris Ayin to light all three
platters? No, nowadays there's no issue of Maris Ayin. Of chashad referring to, because since people light indoors, they have people light outdoors, so if no one's going to light by the petach, so people will assume that they're lighting indoors. And however, it could very well be that if, let's say, you have, I have no idea how many people plan to light outdoors, but let's assume that they're, because it's also Torah Shraga, they have the same issue. So let's assume that you would have 10 people lighting by the entrance of this building, and maybe 3 lighting over there, so, you know, it's it would be, maybe it would be nicer to have things split up in some way. But, you know, again, the reason I'm speaking now is that those of you who are married, talk to your wives. Those who have families, also, I mean, like, I assume you want your kids to be there for a candle. Like, where does your wife feel comfortable also lighting, etc.? So that's a function of the Hishkilkam Torah Secha, yes?
If you're in an apartment where your window is not facing the street but facing the pathway and the little playground, is that also considered relevant for the window?
If there would be people there, if not passing, see the playground, I don't think people would be there at twilight.
People walking up and down the stairs.
But if people walking up and down the stairs, then yeah, that would be. In other words, again, the pesimisa for the rabbin is an area that the rabbin that more rabbin walk in. It's not 600,000 people. On the other hand, it's more of a rabbin than someone else's window who happens to live in Yivat Mordechai would happen to look out of his window and see there. This is a normal pathway that people would be using. Yes.
If a person has 2 windows, one faces Givat Mordechai,
yes,
and the other one, and it's in the living room of the apartment facing Givat Mordechai, or in the bedroom of the apartment facing the stairway, where people walk.
So I would ask that individual questions will be around the Yitzhak Shem for all week, next week, and we can talk about it. Yes?
Is there a svara to say that if someone would light inside as opposed to outside,
in his particular situation, there would be more persuminisa. We should do so.
Why would there be more persuminisa lighting indoors?
Because his apartment is right over a main street where people walk. But if we would light on the side, let's say, in this example, Bruce, in the three corners, maybe it would be less.
Question of lighting indoors or outdoors is not a question of more or less persuminisa. It's a question of the ikaron. Where did Chazal want us to light? And there are two deos over here in Eretz Yisrael.
That decision should be made independently of person.
Yes, yes. I think the decision should be made in terms of, does one want to take upon oneself the minhag of Luach Eretz Yisrael, or does one want to maintain one's minhag from Chutz Laaretz? That's the decision that should be made. And I realize that there are many, many factors involved above and beyond that which Adam mentioned in terms of, are you coming on Aliyah, not coming on Aliyah? There are many factors involved. Yes?
Is it an option to light both indoors and outdoors?
If you have more than one person lighting, certainly.
Let's say one person lighting, would that be about Tosa?
You would.
Let's say outdoors for the mitzvah and indoors for the Avirah.
So why? I mean, for the avirah, so light on your table of a dayo. I mean, you know, so have a electric chanukiah. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. Avirah to light all over the place. To light in every room. You know, we're not talking about avirah. We're talking about the mitzvah.
If there's no external issue of the psumidisa, does it matter where in the apartment you light? There's no window which is going to be seen.
I'm saying there's no window, so then the Shulchan Aruch says if you're lighting indoors, you should light at the doorway, that when someone enters into the apartment, he's surrounded by mitzvos. If that's feasible, I know, again, every apartment is built differently. But if there's room for mezuzah on one side and the Hanukkiah on the other side, such that when you walk in, through mitzvos, that would be best. Otherwise, al Shulchan Avedayo. That's what the Gemara says, al Shulchan Avedayo. The Iker is b'suminisa for the members of the household. Okay, in terms of who lights, so we pointed out that Kafal from the base, Tana Rabbana, Ner Ish Ubeso, and we know there's a Mahadrin and a Mahadrin Minha Mahadrin, and I think everyone here follows Minhag Ashkenaz, and Minhag Ashkenaz is that Kol B'nei Habayis light according to the numbers of nights of Hanukkah. That's the way it's brought in Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph in the Ramah. Minhag Sfar is different, but that's Minhag Ashkenaz. The Ramaz Yeshem, the Kol Echa Mibnei Habayis Yadlik, V'chein HaMinhag Pashut. And on Daf Kaf Gimel Med Aleph, that's where the Gemara points out that even though Chanukah is a mitzvah saseh, Shehazman Grama, but Noshim are also Chayavot B'ner Chanukah, Shafhein Hayu, V'oso Hanes. The question is, what is the practical application of this halacha of Noshim Chayavot? So if we're dealing with a situation where we have a woman who is the Ba'alat Habayit in the absence of a man, a woman who is either an almana or a grusha, or a situation where the husband is in miluim in Eretz Yisrael, or he's traveling away. So certainly she should light with the bracha. She's the balat habayit that the Mishnah Berurah points out over here in Siman Tafresh Ayin. Brings in the din of nashim chayikot Tafresh Ayin Hey. Tafresh Ayin Hey. If katan tes ukishein ha'ish ba'bayis tadli ka'isha dehavi baski yuva ubebracha. I mean, clearly, so she is the one who should be lighting. The question is, if we have a situation where the husband and the wife are both home, and this was a question in terms of how many chanukiyot does one light in one's house, the husband and the wife are both home, should they both light, or should the woman be yotzei with havaka of her husband? So that's a question over here again of Nara Upashte, of Minhagim. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his tshuvas that the Minhag in Europe, I think it's brought in the Sefer of Rav Harari on Hanukkah in the back, that when he came from around Minsk, in that area women lit, married women used to light. And when he came to America, all of a sudden, lo and behold, he found that where he moved to the Lower East Side, that married women didn't light. Because they kind of didn't come from the area of Minsk, they came from Radin. Because the Mishnah Berurah points out that Ayein b'tshuvas Ola Shmuel Siman Kufei de ledidan de madlikim kol echad b'fnei atzmo mikol makom isha, and a married woman ain't a tzricha lahadlik, the havia Tfelot le'anashim, and in the Shar HaTzion, he points out that this is a din of Ishto Kegufo. It's a very strange application of Ishto Kegufo, in terms of the halachic ramifications of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Eidus, etc. But that's the reason that's brought down in Yom HaShabbos, of Ishto Kegufo. Fine, so you have different minhagim as to whether a married woman likes. Nara, nara, upashte. So if you have a situation, Bemet, where the husband and the wife both light, so then it would make a lot of sense for the husband to light outdoors and for the wife to light indoors. In terms of unmarried women, as to whether they should light or not, there's no ishto kegufo, an isha chayevet, so it's a no-brainer. Certainly they should light with the bracha, but b'chol zot, we have over here also two minhagim, that it's known that the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, that in his community, unmarried girls didn't light, they'd be yotze with the father's lighting, and with the reason, rationale being given, that since originally the din was to light outdoors, called kavuda basmelach tenima, so therefore they didn't light. So again, in terms of all of these areas, if one has a minhag from the home, then one should follow that minhag. If one doesn't have a minhag from the home, so then there's a lot to choose from. In terms of where to light, who should light, all of that is open. Yes?
Is there a minhag in Eretz Yisrael that got being married women?
Is there a minhag in Eretz Yisrael? I'm not aware of a minhag in Eretz Yisrael in terms of married women. In Harnof, I know that my shul, there are married women who light, there are married women who don't light. There are girls who light, there are girls who don't light. You know, it's everything goes. Yes?
Meaning it would go from the husband's minhag as to whether she would light him.
We'll speak about Shalom Bayis in a few minutes, but in these matters, I think you should go after the concept. In other words, if a woman is generally mevatelet herself to her husband's minhagim, so over here there would be no difference. But if every minhag is taken on its own, and the cheshbon is whether one's wife feels comfortable taking one's husband's minhagim, so over here also certainly that should be a factor. In terms of when to light, so the Gemara points out in Daf Kafala from Adais that we light Misha Tishka HaChama. And here, of course, we have a Machokas Rishonim. What is Tishka HaChama? What could be the Machokas of what is Tishka HaChama? Are we dealing with Tchilas Shkia? Or are we dealing with Sof Shkia? The Rambam Paskins were dealing with Tchilas Shkia. That's what we call Shkia. And the Rosh and the Tur say we're dealing with Sof Shkia, which, for practical purposes, is what we call Tseisa Kochavim. And that's what's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Siman Tafresh Ayin Beis, in Madlikim Ner Chanukah, Kodem Shetishka Achama, Elo Im Sof Shkiyata, Lo Macharim, Velo Makdimim. How do we paskin? Luach Eretz Yisrael, paskins like the Rambam, and Chutz La'aretz, everyone paskins, that's my knowledge, like the Rosh and the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch. So that, therefore I wrote downstairs, in terms of the time of Hadlaka, that Shkia is, those who light at Shkia should light at this time. Those who light at Tseisa Kochavim, so they get into the problem of Ma'irit, when we pass in Todir, B'Sheino Todir, Todir Kodem, so one prepares the Chanukiah before Ma'irit, one davens Ma'irit, and then one lights immediately after Ma'irit. But the question isn't only when to light, but also how long the candles or the oil has to be that we light until Tichla Regel Min Hashuk. What's Mekubal, what the Mishnah Berurah writes, is that Tichla Regel Min Hashuk is a half hour after Tseis HaKochavim. But it also is a shear of a half hour, namely that you have the candles, whenever you're going to light them, should last at least a half hour. Even dabbing after Ma'ariv, by the time you get to your apartment, it's 5 minutes before the end of Tichla Regel Min Hashuk, but because of the candles should last for a half hour. But if you're lighting after Ma'ariv, it's enough to have the classic Hanukkah candles that light for exactly a half hour. But if you're lighting at Shkia, then you have to take into account that the candles have to be lit until Tichla Regel Min Hashuk, until a half hour after Tseis. So assume 25 minutes from Shkia until Tseis, another 20 minutes from Tseis until Tichla Regel Min Hashuk, so that you have to have candles that light for 45 minutes or enough oil to last for the 45 minutes. So the ideal time to light, again, in Eretz Yisrael, people light at both times. There are those who light at Shkia, there were those who light immediately after Tzitz Kochavim. My shul, again, it's half-half. Half the people come to shul already having lit, half the people go running out after shul to light as quickly as possible.
And these times nowadays are relatively early. And so the question is, well, how do you deal with a situation where, let's say, here in Drush, you're home, and because you don't do anything anyway, so you're around, but your wife is busy, she's working, and she doesn't get home until later. Or what happens normally in communities is that the wife is home at this time, but the husband only comes home from work much later. So here is a very, very famous story that's quoted by Rav Ruderman, Zatzal from Ner Yisrael, in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim once went to visit his Rebbe in Inyanim of Musar and Hashkafa, Rav Nechumka, Miharonda, and to watch him how he lit Chanukah candles. So he saw that Rav Nechumka didn't light it the first Shkia, which made sense. But he also didn't light it Sof Shkia, which didn't make that much sense to the Chafetz Chaim. And Rav Nechumka waited for his wife to come home, and only afterwards went out to light. And the Chafetz Chaim asked, "My hai?" Says over here in the Shulchan Aruch, "Lo ma'acharim v'lo ma'kdimim." So Rav Nechumka pointed out that there is a halacha brought in the Rambam that if one only has enough money to either buy Ner Chanukah or to buy Ner Shabbos, we paskin that Ner Shabbos is adif. That Shalom Bayis, which is the reason for Ner Shabbos, is adif over Pesumin Nisa, which is the reason for Ner Chanukah. And therefore, he felt that since his wife feels very, very wonderful if they light as a family unit, that should be the way that the lighting should go. And therefore, this really depends on whether your wife would want you to light exactly at the ideal time of Tchila Shkia or Sof Shkia, or she would much rather that you light as a family unit and have her in mind, or you know that she would light afterwards if that's her minhag, or that she would rather that you light as a family unit and then you light later with enough oil for a half hour. And since the two of you were there, so you have the pesumin nisa minimally for the home itself. So when someone asked a question previously, so I just mentioned that pesumin nisa, I think that the shalom bayis is certainly a very, very important factor in terms of determining over here the minhagim. If you are lucky enough to be invited out for a meal during Chanukah in someone else's home, then you should realize that it depends how you're invited out. If you're invited properly to eat and to sleep in someone else's house, then you're what's called an achsanai. And even though we have a whole sugi in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch about how an achsanai can be mishtateh bepruta with the lighting of a balabayit, etc., but that's all according to minhag Sfarad. But according to minhag Ashkenaz, that every one of the bnei habayit light, so the achsanai should also light. He should also have his own Chanukiah. If there happens to be no Chanukiah, he didn't bring one, etc., etc., then it can be Mishtateh Bekruta. But Lechatchila, according to our Minhag, Mahadrin and Amahadrin, so the Afsanai should also find a corner in which he can light. If, however, you're just invited for a meal to someone, and you happen to be there in time of Hadlakas Neiros, you don't light. Lighting is near Ish Ubeso. Nachon, you happen to be eating there, but that's simply an eating which is totally arai. It's a one-time meal. But your makom kavua is your apartment. That's your home. And so you should light either before you leave your home, if that's the proper time. You can light post-plug. And before you leave your home, and put enough oil in that it should last until a half hour after it says. Or light when you come home. Assuming that when you come home, someone else is going to be around to see the neiros, so that you can light with a bracha of having a minimal pirsumin nisa of you and someone else. If you're the only one up, you get at home at 2 in the morning, everyone is sleeping. So if you arranged in advance that you could wake up your roommate, bevakasha, if you didn't arrange that in advance, so then you light without a bracha, assuming that no one else is around to see the candle except for yourself. On Erev Shabbos, one over here, here we have two changes, both on Erev Shabbos and on Motzei Shabbos. Yes, I'm sorry.
In terms of gross, what's considered sleeping over? Let's invite someone over for Shabbos. They're not sleeping in my apartment, but they're sleeping in a room next door.
Okay, we'll talk about that in 1 minute. We'll just talk about first in terms of the people and gross in terms of their own lighting, and then we'll talk about their guests over Shabbos. If in terms of one's own lighting, so although normally in Eretz Yisrael candle lighting is 40 minutes before Shkia, here, on a one-time basis, we join Chutz La'aretz, and candle lighting, according to the Luach Eretz Yisrael, is 25 minutes
before Shkia, because the assumption is that you have to have enough oil or enough of the candle that it'll light from the 25 minutes from when you light until Shkia, then another 25 minutes from Shkia until Tzeis, another half hour from Tzeis until Tichle Regel Min Hashur, namely 80 minutes. 80 minutes, so they didn't want to push it further and have another 15 minutes, get it to 95 minutes. 80 minutes, that's the amount of oil or the size of the candles. Those who are lighting with candles, I would advise you to light with Shabbos candles. On the first night, it's not a big deal. We have one night. But the last night of Hanukkah, so it'll be very, very proper. And someone has to be in the house when the candles are lit. So 25, 25, and 30 to light at that time. And the minhag is to, in terms of the gabayim, is to have mincha on Erev Shabbos pre-hadlakas neiros. The minhag is because the tamid shel bein harbayim, which is the parallel to mincha, was brought before the menorah was lit, and so also over here would be proper if mincha were to be davened before candle lighting. Have mincha gedola if you want, but the mincha should be before candle lighting, preferably. If for some reason you're in a community where they don't know that hidur and they just have a regular mincha, like a regular Shabbos, namely that you would light candles in the house and to go daven mincha, so it's more important to daven b'tzibur than to be mahader to have a mincha, to daven b'yechidus before candle lighting. For doing otu beis hamikdash, so all of these acts were acts of b'tzibur, not acts of yechidah. But if in the yeshiva one can set up things in a proper manner, so Erev Shabbos of both Shabbos of Hanukkah, the minyan should be before Havlaka. Just before I get to Avi's question, Motzei Shabbos also have a difference. Maisa Rav of the Gra, it points out that the Gra was very concerned about missing Tichle Regel Min Hashuk, if one waits a long Tosefer Shabbos, and so he said we should have a minimum Tosefer Shabbos of 23 minutes post Shkia to already begin davening Ma'ariv, and then candle lighting can already be 35 minutes after Shkia. Namely, that we would have our Tosefet Shabbos of about 10 minutes before lighting candles, so that we'd be able to light candles as close as possible to, 23 minutes after, correct, 23 minutes after Shkia, one would daven Ma'ariv, and 35 minutes after Shkia, one could already light Hanukkah candle. So that's what's brought in Maaser Av. That's the way the Noah in Eretz Yisrael. That's what's brought in Luach Eretz Yisrael. So we'll daven Ma'ariv earlier on these two Motzei Shabbatot than one usually davens Ma'ariv in order to be able to get as close as possible to a time of Tichle Regel Min Hashuk. And then in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Pei Aleph, there's a question, what do you light first? The Chanukiah or the Chanukiah or the Havdalah candle? So let's brought in the Shulchan. What are the two sides? Light the Chanukiah first, because Afukei Shabbos Fema Acharinon, to try and push off Havdalah as long as possible. Maybe certainly you're lighting, in other words, it's already Motzei Shabbos. You're doing Malacha, but to push off the Havdalah, which would signify allow you to eat, etc., push that off as long as possible. Or do we say Tadir Rishena Tadir Tadir Kodeim, that the Havdalah should precede the lighting of the Chanukiah? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they said that in Shul, everyone agrees that the Chanukiah should be lit before Havdalah. That here in the Yeshiva, there is Havdalah, which is said, and so the Chanukiah should be lit first. And we'll speak about that in a little while in terms of lighting in Shul. The Chanukiah should be first lit, and then Havdalah should be made. In terms of one's home, again, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, Nara Naru Pashta, it's already brought in the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, Malchus and the Taz, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, so that there are two options. If you remember what your minhag is from the house, keep it. If you don't remember, then either option is fine. In Luach Eretz Yisrael, it says to first light the Chanukiah, and then to make Havdalah. Now, between those two candle lightings of Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, Avi raised the question, what if you have a guest for Shabbos? What is the question in terms of the guest for Shabbos? Let's say this guest is sleeping in one apartment and he is eating in another apartment. So then we saw that the Ramah said that preferably someone's willing to be in that apartment, he should light where he is eating. He should prefer, if he's sleeping in one place and eating somewhere else, he should light where he is eating as opposed to lighting where he is sleeping. If he'd be eating one meal of Friday night in one place and another meal on Shabbos during the day and sleeping in one of those two apartments, so where he sleeps and eats takes precedence of where he just eats. I mean, so this you can figure out on your own. The question is, really, that's all that he's lighting on Friday night, Friday late afternoon, he would light where he currently is, where he's eating and sleeping. The question is, what about Motzei Shabbos? He's planning on returning home Motzei Shabbos. Should he light before he returns home, or should he go home first, and then he should light? So here, the rules, the Chora, is he's only by you for a Shabbos. His Makom Kavua is his apartment or his dormitory. So the Chora, just like the Achsanai pointed out, that if he's not going to be sleeping over, he's just invited for the meal, and here the meal is already over, Shabbos is already over, the Chora, he should wait until he gets home. And when he gets home, then he should light in his home with a bracha. That's l'chora what should be. And not mistaken, the Sefer Chovas Hadar, or Reb Schlesinger, volume not only on mezuzah, but also on Hanukkah, that's the way he paskins. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, no, that Shabbos is unique. Shabbos is considered to be a kvius that extends into Motzei Shabbos as well. And therefore, Motzei Shabbos, even someone who's leaving to go to his own house, b'chol zot should light where he is a guest, and then afterwards go to his own house, and that the near issue beso is where he is over Shabbos and moves over into Shabbos. There are those who are not radical in direction X or direction Y, but rather make somewhat of a pshara. Namely, if he's planning on leaving immediately after Shabbos, and let's say he lives in Yerushalayim, so he's going to be home in an hour, within a half hour or an hour, so he should light when he gets home. But if, let's say, he lives in Tzfat, and he visited you in Yerushalayim, by the time he gets home, it's going to be another 3 hours, then he should light where he is. Or, it also may depend as to how long he's staying by you on Motzei Shabbos. If he's going to be leaving right after candle lighting, so then he should light when he gets home. If he's going to stick around for a while and have a Malava Malka by you, even though, again, he's going home, then we could view that as an extension, a Suda Revius of Shabbos. Still, he's by you over Shabbos, and that would be enough to create a kvius that he should light by you. So that's already a machlokas. Rav Sternbach is the one who makes the pshara. So one has to, play it by ear in terms of what are the circumstances of either you're being a guest by someone for Shabbos, Shabbatot, or having someone by you as a guest for the Shabbatot. But again, as I pointed out in the introduction, this is all part of that Nahara Upashti that we find on every single aspect of lighting candles in terms of Hanukkah.
If
yes?
If he would light by his host, he wouldn't also light at all.
No, he lives already. Again, he can, as Chaim says, for atmosphere, he can light. not mitzvah. There are all sorts of candles for atmosphere. Okay. In terms of what fuel does one use? So already the Ramah in Siman Taf Reish Ayin Gimel points out that the Chatzila fuel to use, Mihu Shemen Zayit Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, and there are all sorts of ways of getting Shemen Zayit, buying little thingamajiggies that are solid Shemen Zayit, liquid Shemen Zayit, pouring Shemen Zayit. The Shar HaTziyun quotes the Maharal Miprag, Ki Ner Mitzvah Shelo Lahadlik Klal B'Ner Sha'ava V'Chelev Ela Dafka B'Shemen Nesha HaNes Naaseh b'shemen. He says it to Ma'akev. The Mishnah says Inanu Nohagin Kavaseh. But clearly, there's a hidur to light with shemen zayit. So, if one's spending one's year being mahadir, there's certainly room over here for such a hidur. In terms of lighting in shul, so here the lighting is somewhat different than the individual lighting. The individual lighting we pointed out is either at shkia or after Ma'ariv. However, we have a minhag to light in shul at a time when there would be the greatest pesumei nisa. The assumption is over here people came to come to davening at time, and so the greatest pesumei nisa is right before Ma'ariv. To light in shul right before Ma'ariv, to light, to sing Haneiros Chalalo, don't sing Mo'os Tur, you're never going to get finished, that you'll sing in your own homes. And after Neres Halalu, then to Behur Achum and to Davin Mariv, that lighting is with the bracha. And then the minhag is also to light in the morning in shul, zecher le mikdash, and that lighting is, of course, without a bracha. The lighting with the bracha in the shul at night is very unusual, because this is the Gemara speaks about ner ish ubeso. Why in the world are we b'chlal lighting in shul? What are the mitzvah minhag? Where did the minhag come from? So here we find three different sources. There are the Kolbo links this minhag with the minhag of chutz la'aretz of having kiddush in shul. That there are those orchim who used to sleep in the shuls, and so that would be kiddush makom suda for those orchim. So here also, the same orchim who slept in the shuls, this would be the ner ish ubeso for them. And then, kevan shenahagu nahagu. The Chavas Yair, not mistaken, gives the explanation. Kolbo, the Kolbo points out that we have over here Orchim, that this is the Nirishu Beiso. The Chavas Yair says that there was a period of time, let's see the way around, that since Bishasa Sakona people live indoors, and indoors there's no Pesim Nisa for the Rabbim, and that Bechorah was the Iker Takana that there should be Pesim Nisa for the Rabbim, and Yechal Pesach Beisel Bachutz, so that was Mekuyam by lighting in Shul. In Shul, that was the Pesim Nisa for the Rabbim, for the people who were davening. That's the Makar, the Minog, according to the Chavas Yair. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch has a very fascinating makar for the minhag. He says the minhag of lighting in shul is parallel to the minhag of saying halal in shul on the night of Pesach. My high, that one sees that when one had a chiyuv of an individual halal on Leil HaSeder was meant to be al hakos, it's the third kos, a fourth kos on which we sing halal. So since we see that when we have a din of halal al hakos for individuals, it's extended, it's the derchidu, it's expanded into saying halal for the tzibur. So also over here, since we have a din of hadlakas neiros, which the Rambam calls also a shevach and a halal, so we expand it as well into shul. So ech shelo yiyeh, we have this minhag of lighting in shul, and of course I forgot to mention the Ravid. The Ravid in Hilchos Brachos of the Rambam, the Ravid says that we light in shul zecher lemikdash. That we find many things that we do zecher lemikdash, so this is one of them. Also, einon l'rishus l'hishtamesh bahem, according to the Ran, is zecher lemikdash. And the Ravid brings a very fascinating bracha. How did the Ravid know the lighting of Chanukiah has an aspect of zecher lemikdash? From the language of the bracha. That there's a whole question in the Rishonim, when does one say a bracha al, and when does one say a bracha li? When do you say a bracha li hadlik ner Chanukah, and when should one say a bracha al hadlakot neros Chanukah? And the Ravid's distinction is that doraisa we say li, and drabanan we say al. I Chanukah is drabanan, and we say li hadlik. So you see that really we're making the bracha that the Kohen made in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen of the Beis HaMikdash should make a bracha lehadlik hamenorah, and so that bracha is that nusaf, that form is used by us as a zeichu lemikdash lehadlik ner Chanukah or lehadlik ner shel Chanukah, depending as another narrow pashtei. I think that what? You see that our lighting has an aspect of zeichu lemikdash. Once it's zeichu lemikdash, so then shul is the equivalent of the mikdash ma'at, and one lights on the kir darom on the southern wall of the shul parallel to the Beis Hamikdash.
No, because
the bracha is there. He points out that why, you know, if his rule is that whenever we have a drabanan we say al, and whenever we have a doraisa we say le. So why in Chanukah do we say le? Because it's a lighting, which is Zeichel Mikdash, that the Nusach was already Nikva in the Mikdash, and we're transferring the Nusach of the Mikdash into the Zeichel Mikdash. Yes?
If it's a Zeichel Mikdash, how can we never do light any sort of Hanukkah during the year?
It When Chazal were koveya on Hanukkah, Zecher v'Nes, once they were koveya, then it has aspects. There are aspects of the hadlaka that relate to the mikdash. It wasn't nikva purely zecher v'Nes, but once it was written nikva Zecher v'Nes of Pach HaShemen, so then we give it the certain ramifications that relate to Zecher v'Mikdash. So one of them would be in terms of the Iser of Ishtamshus, another one would be in terms of the Nusach of the Bracha, and the third would be in terms of lighting in a makom that would be parallel to a Mikdash Ma'at.
What's the difference in the Minhagim? It seemed that in the Kollel last year back in America, they finished afternoon Seder and then went home into the Mitzvah of the Bracha versus here.
The difference is that... that in Eretz Yisrael we pass them like the Shulchan Aruch that ain ma'achrin ve'ain makdinin. In Eretz Yisrael people are much more makpid on the time. People, a lot of people really light at shkia. People leave home early to light at shkia. Right? Ben Nosh and I will leave a bit early to light at shkia. The whole state of the kol we're moving up to be able to get in a hadlaka according to the din of Shulchan Aruch. Which what's the hesber of Chutz La'aretz in terms? I guess that they're assuming that Talmud Torah connected Kulam and the person is involved in learning, so then that is pushes off the time. Or it could be maybe that in Chutzar Zichar Regel Menashul has a different meaning altogether. People are never in the street or they're always in the street, depending upon the neighborhood. And so once already there's no concept of Zichar Regel Menashul, that sort of takes away the time frame of Shkia and Tosafot. But in other words, it's not Dafka here. I mean, here we do it because that's what's mekubal in all of Eretz Yisrael, that everyone stops whatever they're doing, and it's mekayim mitzvah of Chazal. Mitzvah shehas man groma, mitzvah she, you know, it's shehas man groma. We pass in our dochet al the Torah. Okay, just yes.
Was it be in a hotel?
Yes.
And they don't need to like, you're not eating there. They don't need to like.
In a hotel. If they don't permit you to light in the room, so preferably you should light where you eat. If there's a chadar ochel, if there's a dining room in the hotel, that would be the best place to light. Sometimes I don't allow you to light in the dining room either. That was a big thing when we go in past years. Budget permitting, we go in a Shabbaton towards the end of the year to a hotel, so we have to speak to the hotel in advance to allow us to light in the chadar ochel, because normally they like you to light in the lobby. But over here, in terms of the lobby, I guess, you know, it's that as opposed to Neirot Shabbat, that really, really, really should be in the Hadar Ochel, or in the room. There's, you know, it's that in terms of the Onik Shabbat, should preferably be where you're eating, or if not, at least where you would use them in terms of sleeping. But over here, I guess that one would consider to the lobby to be somewhat an extension of one's room, and one would light in the lobby with a bracha, if that's the only alternative. But if they would allow you to light in the Hadar Ochel, that would be much, or even the entrance to the Hadar Ochel, that would be much better.
Rabbeinu Tam, according to Gro's opinion, what would someone do?
Well, Rabbeinu Tam was Rabbeinu Tam, and the Gro was the Gro. That's exactly. The time of Tzeis Kochavim that we have in Eretz Yisrael, which is 25 minutes after Shia, that's Minag Eretz Yisrael, is based on, you know, it's Minag HaGro. Minag HaGro, that's not Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam only came to Eretz Yisrael when Lakewood opened up, what they call, I think, Lakewood East, in Montessori. That was the first place I'm aware of in Eretz Yisrael that kept Rabbeinu Tam. And then it became, then a lot of more fellows began coming over, learning in Brisk, learning here and learning there, keeping Rabbeinu Tam. But in Eretz Yisrael, until Lakewood East opened, there was no one kept Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone simply would come in like Eretz Yisrael 25 minutes. I mean, that Seis was 25 minutes after Shia Friday night as well. So if you keep Rabbeinu Tam, then you're not keeping the Grud. So. Okay. I think that I've used my time slot. I'll just end with one thing. Just this. Okay, I'll end with something which Rabbi Berger over here, Ari, Rabbi Abba Berger, was the guiding light behind this Yom Yun, and so he asked me to say a word about Hashkafa. So just one word in terms of Hashkafa. There's a Ramban in Parshas Vayesha, which I think is a very Yisodistika Ramban, and the Diuk in the Ramban was not made by me, but by Rav Chaim Bravender, but I, in other words, I'd like to say over in his name, that we point out in the sugya of Hanukkah, we have the drasha, Haborek Ein Bo Mayim, Mayim Ein Bo Avol Nachashim V'Akravim Yesh Bo. And it's brought in the same sugya as Ner Chanukah B'malam Yesrim, etc. So the Ramban asked the question, were the brothers aware that there were Nachashim and Akravim in the boar? That if they were aware, what kind of Hatzalah is it on the part of Reuben to throw them into the boar? And if they were not aware, then who cares that there were Nachashim and Akravim? Why is there a bother to tell us that this, if the Akim weren't aware that they were putting Yosef into such sakana? So the Ramban explains that we have over here a situation where the Akim were not aware. Had they been aware, says the Ramban, had they been aware that there were Nachashim and Akravim, and that Yosef was being saved by a Nes Nigla from Nachashim and Akravim, they would have realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving them a sign that Yosef is a tzaddik, the same way Daniel was not touched by the Arayos. So also Yosef is not being touched by the Nachashim and Akravim, and their whole theory of the Rodef, etc., is all wrong, and they would have picked them out of the boar and hugged them and said sorry for the terrible mistake. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed us that we were wrong. But we see over here, says the Ramban, this is a diuk of a Bravader in the Ramban, that a person can have nisim gluyim taking place under his feet, and because he's not aware of it, he lives a life of tragic mistakes. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu builds nisim gluyim into the world, and they can be directly under us, and because we lack a perception, an awareness of nisim gluyim, we can make terrible, terrible, horrible, tragic mistakes with our life. To a certain degree, I think that that would encapsulate what was the difference between the worldview of Yahadut, of Al Nisecha Shebechoyo Mimanu, and the worldview of Mityavnim, of a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't play an active role. In terms of here, we have a situation where we view it as Nisecha Shebechoyo Mimanu, the Pach HaShemen. The Iker of the Nes Nigla is simply to point out the Nisim Nistarim that we live with on a daily basis. And in the Chora, we should get more used to having that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tachlis for us in life at every point. Perhaps that during Hanukkah this should be an aspect which we should renew in our own consciousness. We should have a prayer.